Thank you, Terry. If you have your Bibles this morning, be turning to the book of Colossians in chapter 2. And before you groan and say, yeah, Darren, but we've had to listen to you talk about Colossians for the last 6 weeks, there's so much there. There's so much to be learned from the book of Colossians. I want to talk about Colossians chapter 2, the passage that Brother Brad read for us this morning. You know, we're a mere 11 days away from taking this year and putting it in our rearview mirror. And there's hope. There's a lot of hope, I think. We've suffered for a long number of months. We're on the cusp of what I personally hope will be a return to at least somewhat more of a normal than we've had to endure for the last few months. One of the things I think about, though, when I think about that is how short sometimes our memories are. Because as we come out of this coming year, and as we come out of a lot of things in our lives that tend to discourage us, one of the things we tend to do as human beings is forget. We forget about all of the positive things and all of the good things that came out of that. We forget about all of the blessings and all of the opportunities that we've had and the lessons that we've learned and all of these things. And I know we've prayed so many times. I have, and I've heard many of you pray and thank God for opportunities because we've had so many of them. And this morning, I want to focus for just a little bit on one of the things that at least has come into very sharp focus for me, and that is the concept of love. And as many of you know, I am a lover of analogies. And in the first few verses of Colossians chapter 2, Paul sets up for us a beautiful analogy. And it's one that I want to explore a little bit this morning and perhaps look at some things that maybe you've never thought about. There are some things in there that I've never thought about, and as you look and you dig and you try to understand what Paul is trying to communicate to the Colossians, it opens up a lot of interesting things to think about. I want to share those with you this morning. So we're going to talk about this concept of being knit together in love. Now, I'm not a knitter. I don't know the first thing about knitting. I see two sticks and I want to eat Chinese food. I don't want to put yarn together and make something out of it. But knitting is a skill that many people have. And it's an amazing skill. And I think Paul here in Colossians chapter 2, and obviously, well, I don't know about obviously, I don't know if they knit back then, but there's a concept I think here that Paul is trying to get us to understand. And it's one, at least for me, that I need some help in understanding a little bit better. But first, what I want to point out is in verse 1, because what Paul says here introduces to us how important Paul really believes this is, right? Paul struggled so much in his life, right? We read in Corinthians where he talks about all the things that he had to go through, all the things that he struggled with. And yet he says over and over, the thing that I struggle with the most is in my concern for the churches. He says that in many different places. And he says it here as well. He says, guys, I want you to pay attention because I want you to understand that what I'm about to tell you is what I struggle for you to understand. Now, what that says to me as a reader of this is that I better pay attention. Because out of all the things that Paul has struggled with, he does it for me so that I understand a very specific thing. And he's going to tell us what that specific thing is. And I want to point out this morning four things about this passage. And the first of which is in verse 2. And let's read verse 1. And read a little bit of what Brad read for us so that we kind of pick up the thought here. He says, I want you to know how great a struggle I have on your behalf and for those who are at Laodicea and for all those who have not personally seen my face, that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love. And, sorry, I got to get my glass on because I can no longer see. Having been knit together in love and unto all of the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is Christ himself. And we're going to spend most of our time talking about verse 2 because there is a wealth of things that Paul is trying to get us to understand in verse 2. And the very first thing that we see is that he struggles so much because he wants their hearts to be encouraged. And as you consider that and ponder that, what does that mean? If I tell you that I need to be encouraged, what is the conclusion that you come to in your mind? Obviously. That there's something in my life that perhaps is discouraging me. That I am not in a place in my life where I have a lot of courage, where I have a lot of hope. Maybe my faith is falling apart a little bit and I need to be encouraged. There's something there that requires for me to be encouraged. And when, you know, we think about this year, and I don't care if you want to talk about the pandemic or anything that we could possibly do in our lives. We face many, many times of discouragement. Our parents die. We lose our jobs. Things are not going so well financially. We have to go through a pandemic. We look at the country and it's falling completely apart. That's discouraging. The problem that I think we have when we get discouraged is that we begin to doubt. Don't we? I mean, when I get discouraged, and I remember going through periods of time where I was unemployed because I had been laid off and I was discouraged. Really discouraged. Tears discouraged. And what happens in those times is you begin to start wondering. And I think for many of us, we start wondering about two things. We start wondering about ourselves, and we start wondering about God. What am I doing wrong? Where have I gone wrong? Matthew chapter 6 says that Jesus told his disciples that he would take care of them. Put the things of the kingdom first, and all these things will be added to you. So I must be doing something wrong. If my life is not going well, something must be wrong with it. We also think, where's God? Where's God in all of this? Why isn't God answering my prayers? Why isn't God taking care of me? And we begin to feed on our own discouragement and we get into a place where we are subject to a lot of things coming into our minds and changing our belief and our faith in God. And Paul says that right here. You'll notice that he frames this discussion in verses 2 and 3 with the one that with what he says in verse 4. He says, I say all of these things so that you're not deluded with persuasive arguments. There are times in our lives when things that normally would not be persuasive suddenly are. God doesn't care about you. You're a complete failure. If God's not taking care of you, then, you know, as Job dealt with his friends, there must be something wrong with you. And those things start to percolate and they start to gain a little momentum in our lives and our discouragement increases and suddenly we're believing things that under normal conditions we wouldn't even think about. Now, the solution that Paul is going to give us here is being knit together in love. And this is what I want for myself, to be better at this in 2021. Because I think for us, a lot of times we come here and we look at the back of the person's head in front of us and we say, yep, I love that person. And then we go back to our own lives and that love does not show itself in any way, shape, or form. Paul says, guess what, guys? There is discouragement going on. And encouragement means being knit together in love. Now, knitting. I had to look this up. I've seen people knit. But, I mean, if you want to look at the definition of knitting, it's basically taking yarn or wool and somehow taking those two sticks and doing magic tricks and somehow knots and things get interwoven and they get stuck together. The point of all of that is you're taking string and you're uniting it and making it something that it wasn't before. Something much more valuable. Something much more useful. And it takes a lot of time and there's a lot of patience and there's a lot of love and there's a lot of all sorts of things that go into that. And at the end of the day, you end up having this nice warm thing that you can watch television in. It's an amazing thing. The concept is that you're taking all these little pieces and you're tying them together. The concept, if you look at the Greek word, just really means to unite or cause to unite. We need to continuously think about this. We've talked about this a zillion times, but I think sometimes we forget. God painted the church as a single unit. Right? Yes, we are a bunch of individual components, but look in Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2 and down in verse 19, Paul is telling the Ephesian church, he says, "So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and all of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone." Being the cornerstone of what? Of a household. That is a single, singular noun. That is one thing. In verse 22, "in whom you are also being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit." One dwelling. Right? Go forward a couple of chapters into chapter 4, and he talks about that a little bit more, right? As we get down into verses 15 and 16 of chapter 4, he talks about the joints and everything being held together by the love of God. Right? We are one thing. And love is what interlocks us together. You know, love is an interesting thing, especially the love that Paul is talking about here. Because we so often think of love as the feeling that I have in my heart for somebody else. My feelings that I have for Jackson. I love Jackson. But do I really? Right? Look at what that love is really talking about. And if you look in Colossians chapter 2, it's not a feeling, it's a connection. How do I stay connected with the people that I love? Right? We oftentimes think that if I share the same beliefs with people, that's good. Yeah, that's good. But that doesn't make love. Because I share the same beliefs with a lot of people that I could care less if I spend any more time with them. So I have to think very carefully, do I really love them? And love is not a feeling. Love is a connection that is caused and is shown by our actions. I demonstrate my love towards somebody not by giving them a big hug and shaking their hand and telling them how great they look today. It's by doing the hard things and helping them. That word means to act in the best behavior of the one loved. I think we sometimes forget this, but that, as Paul says, that's what brings us together. See, sharing beliefs does not bring people together. I mean, yeah, it does. It gives you a push. It gives you a start, but it doesn't keep people together. Because sooner or later, you're going to figure out you don't like them very much. Now what are you going to do? Because you still got to love them. Sheer determination is not going to help us love one another. I can grit my teeth all I want. I'm going to love Doug. I don't want to spend any time with him, but I'm going to love him. That's what we do sometimes. Grit and determination are not going to do what Paul is suggesting here in terms of knitting us together. And I'll show you why in just a minute. The third thing I want to talk about in terms of knitting together is we got to be together. We got to be touching. That's the whole concept of knit, is to bring something together and making it so tight that there's no way you can pull that thing apart. We got lots of knit things in our house. I can take those blankets and I can pull just as hard as I want to. Unless I got a pair of scissors, I'm not going to get any of that apart. It's not coming apart. Yeah, it bends and it moves a little bit, but it never comes apart. We've got to be touching one another. There's a quote from Dallas Willard, who writes a book, and I think he nails this point so well. He says the members of the body must be in contact if they are to sustain and be sustained by one another. Christian redemption is not devised to be a solitary thing, though each individual, of course, has a unique and direct relationship with God. And God alone is his or her judge. But the life, The Christian life that we live is one that requires some regular, profound conjunction with others who share it. 2020 stunk. And I think we learned that. And I think for those of us that don't necessarily like to hang out with people that much, we got to learn a little bit more than the rest of you did. It hurts when you're not together. Why? Because that's the way God created us. And that's why God created the church and said, you guys get together. And don't just get together and watch the preacher and look at the back of the person's head in front of you, but love them. We're going to talk about how that happens here in just a minute. Look at what else he says in Colossians chapter 2. He says, I struggle that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love, and unto all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery. I want you to notice those words. Because if you don't look at them very carefully as you're studying the Word of God, you miss what he's saying here. There's two very important things he's saying. Number one, you are knit together in love. That's how. But you're also knit together unto the wealth of understanding and knowledge. It's interesting here because Paul says love and knowledge go together. You cannot pull them apart. I think for me, this is something that really sunk in as I was studying Colossians. This is something that really sunk in. My love for you, if it's appropriate, if it's correct, if it's the kind of love that Paul is talking about, has knowledge as a huge component of it, somehow. Not sure how, but how, we'll talk about how in just a second. But those things don't really go together. I love to see you and I hug you and I say it's great to see you. How are you doing? There's no knowledge in that, but I love you. Paul says there's two things here. Being knit together in love and being knit together unto all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding. How does this work? Well, let's look at it a little bit. 1 John chapter 4, down to verse 7 and 8. We could read this passage and stop right there, because that would be enough. I want you to look at 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, and down in verse 7 says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. Look at what he says. And everyone who loves is born of God and what? And knows God. Verse 8, the one who does not love does not know God. God. For God is love. What does that mean? What does that mean? God, if we love each other, then we understand, we have the knowledge and the understanding that Paul is talking about because God is love. Now, how does that come out? It comes out in a number of ways. And I look at myself all the time, we look around. I get so angry with people and I don't want to be around them because they say stupid things that maybe I don't agree with because they call me names because of what I believe in. But what I always forget about all those people that I don't want to talk to because it's painful, because I don't like them very much, is that God does. And see, this is the thing that if I can somehow get this back internalized into my own heart, it changes the way I deal with everyone else. God doesn't love you any different than he loves me. He doesn't love the person outside of these doors that wants to spit in your face because of what you believe. He doesn't love that person any less than he loves me. And if I love that person, then I know God. I understand God. If I treat everyone else with the attitude and the action that says, I'm going to do what's in your best interest. Imagine what our world would actually be like. That takes some thought. That takes some consideration. It takes some internalization, and it takes us on our knees before God to say, God, give me what? The knowledge of you so that I can love. Not just them. What Paul is talking about here is being knit together. Us as a single unit being knit together so that nobody can pull us apart. And love and knowledge do those things for us. God so loved the world, John chapter 3 and verse 16, that he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish and have eternal life. Romans chapter 5 and down in verse 10 tells us that God and Jesus loved us when? When we were friends? When we kind of liked him a little bit, but we didn't know any better? No. When we were enemies. Colossians chapter 1 and down in verse 21 says that God loved us when we were hostile. Ever had anybody be hostile to you? I have. I'm sure we all have. How do you feel about that? How do you feel about that person? Do you want to love them? But if you say, you know what? I'm going to go home and I'm going to pray for you. Guess what you just did? You figured out God. That's what 1 John is saying. Love has that full knowledge of God. Philippians chapter 1. Look at that passage very quickly. Philippians chapter 1. And down in verse 9, where Paul tells the Philippians, he says, and this I pray, that your love may abound. Right? He talks about how much they love. This is a lot of what the Philippian letter is about. Paul praises them for a lot of things, their love being one of them. And he says in verse 9, and this I pray, that your love may abound still more. You got a lot of it, but you need more. But look what he says. That your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge. Real knowledge. True knowledge. And all discernment. I kind of look at this as, you know, you stick a plant in a pot and you expect it to grow. What happens if you forget to put the dirt in there? What happens if you forget to put the water in there and the plant food in there? How much is that plant going to grow? I have no idea because I have a black thumb. I couldn't grow a plastic plant. But I'm pretty sure that if you put soil into that pot, that plant will grow. Paul says, let your love abound still more in what? In real knowledge and in discernment. Knowledge of what? Knowledge of God. Guess what that means? That the more I understand this, the more I learn this, the more I love you. And the more you learn it, the more you love each other, and the more you love me. That's important. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. I mean, it's amazing. Once you kind of start to understand something, the more and more you see it. Right? And you start to see this concept of love and knowledge going together in all sorts of places. It's kind of like when you buy a new car. We just bought a car a few months ago. Never saw one of those cars before. Guess what? I see them everywhere now. Right? That's how our minds work. So as we learn, we find those things in other places. Ephesians chapter 4 in verses 1 through 3 talk about love and knowledge. Therefore I, the prisoner, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love. Doing what? What do you do with that love? Being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. How do we do that? I cannot have unity with you unless there is knowledge. Our unity comes from the Spirit, from our knowledge of the Word of God. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 21, which we've been studying, says the exact same thing. Actually, chapter 3 and down in verse 14. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. We are unified in things that we know, in the things that we believe. And we are unified in love. They go together. We build each other up with love and knowledge. Right? These things absolutely go together. And again, it dictates that we're together. And it stinks that we're not together. But that shouldn't stop us. It shouldn't stop us. In Colossians chapter 3 and down in verse 16, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom. Look at what he says. Teaching one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and with thankfulness in your hearts to God. He just said two verses earlier that love is what unifies us. And now he's saying, get together and sing, because that's how you teach and that's how you admonish. We can't do that if we're all scattered doing our own things. I'm not talking about necessarily a pandemic, because as I said at the beginning, this is going to end. But what did we learn? We learned that it's important to be together. We learned that it's important to reach out and touch somebody and make sure that they're encouraged. And we do that with love, and we do that with knowledge. What do we do when we disagree with someone? We'll talk about that a little bit in class as we get into chapter 3, down in verse 16 and 17 a little bit more. Love, love, love. This is what Paul is talking about here. This is what he wants for us. So let's put the whole thing together again. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have on your behalf. He says, I want your hearts to be encouraged. I want you to be knit together in love so that no one can pull you apart. Not just being here. Being together, being connected. Darren, yeah, I got to work on this some. A lot. This is hard for me. But Paul says, what's going to happen when you do that? Your knowledge, your understanding. Look at it in verse 3. He says, you will get the full assurance of understanding resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is Christ himself. Part of love means we're helping other people learn. That can be difficult sometimes because we don't always agree with one another. We don't always treat each other right when we don't agree with one another. I'm guilty. Guilty. I don't often treat people the way that I should because I forget why I'm connected to them in the first place. Because we're all trying to get to heaven, and we're not going to get there unless we love one another. Again, Paul bookends this conversation with encouragement and with verse 4. I say this that no one will delude you with persuasive argument. You know what? Sometimes we feel like we have to have the perfect answer to go encourage somebody. And we don't do it because we're scared. We're scared we won't say the right thing. We're scared we don't understand their problems. We're scared we're going to make them angry. We're scared of whatever. But guess what's happening in their life according to what Paul is talking about here? As they get more and more discouraged, and as thoughts and things that people say and things that they read in social media and on the internet start to pervade their minds. And you're sitting back there going, I can't go talk to them because I don't know really what they're doing and I'm afraid. That's dangerous. This is what Paul is saying. Love and knowledge. Love that person. Go share with them the word of God. God's got all the answers. I don't care what their problem is. But love is what is going to keep us all together and all going to heaven. And that's the point that he's trying to make. He wants our hearts to be knit together in love. I love Psalm chapter 139 and down in verse 13 where David says, God has woven me together in my mother's womb. When you think about that, it's such a beautiful thought. But what David's really saying there is that God takes all of these complicated things that don't really seem to go together and he puts them all together in this little baby And it's an amazing thing, and it's a beautiful thing, and that baby has a function, and that baby causes joy to everyone. That concept of putting things together, not in a building where we're looking at the backs of people's heads, but in a way that we are knit together by love and by knowledge. That's what Paul is trying to get us to understand. May God help us to do that. May God help me. I need this. I need to be reaching out more to people and say, how are you doing? Well, I'm discouraged. Well, let's look at what God says about what you're going through right now. Or maybe I don't even have a clue what God says about what you're going through right now, but guess what I can do that'll make your life better? I can love you and I can pray for you. That's encouragement. That's what Paul is asking these people to do. If you're not a Christian this morning, there is so much value. There is so much that God has provided for us in this body. Being knit together in love and in knowledge. That's what comes from being a member of the body. And if you have not been baptized, you're not a member of Christ's body. I know that's harsh, but that's what the Bible tells us. So if you're not a Christian this morning and you've learned from this or any other lesson, the water's warm, finally. Thank you, Twain. The water's warm and it's now clean. It wasn't last week. If you'd have been baptized last week, you probably would have died of hypothermia. But that'd have been okay. The water's warm. If you believe in Jesus Christ and you're ready to give your life to Him, repent of your sins and believe, confess Him as Lord. That's what you need to do to become part of the organization that God set up to be knit together in love. So if you're not a Christian this morning, don't wait till it's too late. If you need the prayers of the congregation for any reason, let us know. All together we stand and while we sing.